Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Amin Ohassan joins us here. Amin, how you doing?
Obviously, the last week or so has been tough for everybody, watching the news and seeing what's happening. But, you know, you try to put one foot in front of the other and keep moving and keep trying to stay busy, you know, doing other things. So it is what it is.
Where are you? Are you in New York? Are you in?
I'm in Arizona. I'm in Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm at home in Arizona, and you know, thankfully, it's a lot easier to social distance and kind of stay out of the way of people here than it is in a place like New York, which is a lot denser. So thankfully, you know, I'm good. My family's good. We really haven't had any problems or health scares out here.
Before we do start really diving into the NBA, just want to give you a platform if you have thoughts or feelings in regard to what's taken place in our country the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. I think we can all agree that, you know, whatever you believe about, you know, law enforcement, you think all cops are great or whatever, I think we can all agree there are certain offenses in this country that don't carry a death penalty with them. Allegedly writing a bad text is not punishable by death, right? Jogging is not punishable by death. Selling loose cigarettes is not punishable by death. Walking with Skittles and a hoodie on is not punishable by death. Even if you think these things are all crimes, they're not punishable by death. And you can understand the frustration, I think, of why people seem to be able to excuse or pardon or rationalize the loss of life for seemingly the smallest of transgressions, if you even want to call it that. The other thing I would say is I saw a really interesting video last night from the protests in Atlanta, and it was a police officer trying to get people to calm down, explaining how we're going to handle it, da-da-da, and the protester says, what about that guy over there, the cop over there who's screaming at people and getting violent? And the cop is just like, yeah, that guy's a jerk, and I'm going to go talk to him as soon as we're done here. And I think if the goal, the mission is of law enforcement to rebuild the trust with community, we need more police officers who are willing to stand up and say, no, that guy's wrong, and we'll handle it. I think the most troubling thing about the George Floyd video, to me, was not even this cop, this murderer, really, in a police uniform, kneeling on a guy's neck as he says he can't breathe, as shocking as it is. The more shocking part was the other police officer standing there and letting him do it. Because it's one thing I can accept, hey, man, there are bad seeds everywhere. But they don't get far if their coworkers, the ones who they would listen to or should listen to, if they're standing by like, well, what am I going to do? This is what he does. And that's the disturbing part. I want to believe that if there are bad cops doing bad things, there are good cops who will stand up and say, stop. That's not right. First of all, it's not right what you're doing on a human level. Second of all, if even on the most self-centered, selfish level, I could say, hey, you're making me look bad. At the very least, don't you even care about how you look as a police officer when something like that is happening? And I think until we break this blue wall of, I don't criticize my homies, because that's part of the code or whatever. And until we break that, I think we're not going to have trust in this country between law enforcement and citizens.
Again, he's Amin Ohassan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's dive into what's going on with the NBA. And it looks like Thursday owners are going to vote. 3/4 of their vote is needed with the proposal that Adam Silver has put together, somewhat of a bubble community, bubble society in Orlando, Florida. 22 teams, it looks like, where 6 games. And then of course, some play-in games and then the postseason to be played. What your thoughts on this proposal, first and foremost?
I think, you know, I've from the very beginning, I've been very safety first. This virus is extremely contagious, has no vaccine, and really has no foolproof way of being stopped or slowed down other than everybody stay away from everybody else. So the moment you say we're going to bring X amount of teams to this place, right? And when we say teams, we're not just talking about the players, we're not just talking about the coaches, we're talking about the training staffs and the front office support personnel, and then the league officials are going to be there, and the refs, and like, we're talking about a pretty big endeavor here. So I've kind of come to grips with the reality that the money is too much for everyone to say, look, this is just risky behavior for us to even attempt this. I've come to grips with that. We're going to play games. If we're going to do that, we know that increasing the number of people within this quote-unquote bubble increases the risk. The more teams you bring in, the more people are coming in, the more risky this is, because you're depending on more and more people. You're trusting more and more people to do the right thing, wash their hands, don't leave campus to go get a meal somewhere or whatever. And so expanding it beyond 16 to me was always kind of like, all right, now you're just unnecessarily taking on risk. But I understand there are local TV deals to be paid out. The other part of this is, and this is the more concerning part, I said, okay, we're going to bring however many teams, let's do it. But we're going to be in a state of lockdown, right? Well, not so much. Jared Dudley says in the conversations that we've been having, the players are not going to be locked down. They can leave the campus whenever they want and come back, and they'll be tested on the way back in. And I'm just like, this is just unnecessarily increasing the risk. Not for the money, right? Not because this makes it safer, but because some people might get bored while they're on resort. Guys, this isn't, it's not a vacation at Disney World, even though they're at Disney World. This is a way for us to get through these games, everybody get their money, not have to tear up the CBA in the safest way possible. And yes, that involves some sacrifice, and the sacrifice of having a good time off campus seems like a fairly innocuous one to ask for.
See, but here's, it's very interesting that you bring this up, because this is what I've been talking about. I feel that professional athletes live in, listen, we know this. They live in a totally different universe, right? They don't even live on the same planet as us in regard to like, what their day to day life is like. And so therefore it's like, I don't think they get reality. It's like we're all living in this pandemic world. But the athletes are not, right? Like I haven't been to the gym. I've gained 10 pounds. I'm trying to do everything I can to work out without my soul cycle, without my gym. Meanwhile, you've got all these extremely wealthy athletes who have these phenomenal gyms in their homes, and they haven't missed a beat. So it's just, it's night and day. The one thing that I probably miss most is I'm a foodie. I miss going out to dinner in the city. I miss going out to dinner with my friends, opening a bottle of wine, having a great steak. You know what? I am not going to walk into establishment. I will support the establishments by ordering out. I will not walk into establishment until there's a vaccine. But you know what? This is like I've come to accept this. And you're right. So what these I'll call them spoiled. These spoiled athletes, they don't want to like sacrifice and go to Orlando and stay inside a very tight bubble because of safety, because they're going to be bored. It's just like, I can't wrap my head around it.
This is why I'll push back on you. I don't think, first of all, a lot of these athletes don't have great workout facilities where they live. I would say the majority don't. The high profile guys do because they can afford it. But for your regular NBA player, and this guy might be a multimillionaire, $3-4 million a year contract, but most of these guys live in condos near their practice facility because it's convenient. It's like boom, 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 especially if they're single. If they got a family, then maybe there's a house. But a lot of these guys are living, you know, I'm not saying like meagerly, it's nice furnishings, but they don't have a treadmill or a Peloton or anything in their house, because the whole idea is that's why I live near the practice facility. I go to work out there. The other difference is for them, working out isn't so that they're in shape and they're healthy and they look good. For them, it's this is my livelihood. And so the requirement, the need for them to be in shape is much higher than the rest of us, to be honest. The question becomes when, okay, we've addressed all these other concerns and needs, right? Okay, workout, don't worry. We have workout facilities here. All right, you want to eat? Oh, there's a cafeteria downstairs. Oh, pool, we have pools. All right, what else do you want? I kind of want to go out. Like, no, that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. And I think part of this comes from, if you think of NBA trying to dictate things and players either going along with it or doesn't, 99.9% of the time, this is a collectively bargained thing. Everything is negotiable. Everything is negotiable. And so when we come to this point where it really is about safety and not about leverage or one side getting over on the other, I think sometimes it's hard for both parties to get out of, we're negotiating. Everything's a negotiation. Sometimes things shouldn't be a negotiation. Sometimes it just should just be.
If this does happen and this transpires, what are you going to do, like you and Rachel and the Jump crew? Are you guys going to be in the bubble? I'm really curious. Are you going to be? Are you going to go to the bubble? I
don't speak for Rachel or anyone else. I speak for myself. I'm absolutely not going to be traveling to a bubble to go live and work out. I love going to games. I love being there and talking to personnel and players, and that's how I get more educated every time, every year. But it's not worth it. I have a mother who's immunocompromised. I have a sister who's immunocompromised. I can't risk going, and even if I don't catch it, you know, coming back and infecting people I love for something that ostensibly I can cover from the safety of my home on TV. I know Governor Newsom in California is starting to loosen up restrictions, so we might have Jump shows that are out of the studio in L.A. I think I can come to grips with that one a little bit more because it's a smaller environment. It's not as many people. We're naturally distant from one another at all times. But as far as going to Orlando, to me, that's going to be a hard no.
Last thing for you before I let you go, Dan Orlovsky and Damian Lillard kind of got into it in regard to Dan's original comments, calling him spoiled and entitled for Damian saying that he wouldn't go play for meaningless games. It'd be one thing if they were competing in the playoffs, but if not, he doesn't want to go. Your thoughts on A, players who feel like Damian does, and also B, how do you think that will be received with the players on the team and in like their fellow players in the NBA?
Well, first of all, I would say if anyone's spoiled and entitled in this situation, it's Dan Orlovsky, who feels like, obviously he's a coworker with the ESPN, but his comments sound like someone who's upset that the Christians won't go out into the Roman Coliseum today and fight the Lions. Like, what do you mean? These cowards, go out there and fight the Lion. What's the big deal? Dan's life is not on the line. Dan's loved one's life is not on the line here. Damian Lillard is, in the sense that, again, the same reason I said, there's no way in hell I'm going to Orlando. You know, Damian Lillard is being asked to go somewhere where the risks are elevated. Now you ask him, for what? Well, do I get a chance to win a championship, perhaps? Well, no, not really. We just want to do it just, you know, to everybody keep entertained. Basically, go out there in the Coliseum and fight some lions so that all the other Romans are happy. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to any of the athletes, especially the elite ones. They do it for a reason. They do it to win. They don't do it for your entertainment. Or even if they do, I think we can all accept under these circumstances, this ain't the time to demand entertainment. As far as what the other players, or the teammates, for instance, would think, I think they would all be lockstep. Now, obviously, not everyone has the privilege within an NBA context, the privilege of a Damian Lillard, meaning Damian Lillard can sit out, and next year, guess what? His contract's paid in full. His endorsements are paid in full. He's going to come back and be the starting point guard for the Blazers and play 36 minutes and get all the shots, and he's fine. But there are players on that team, on all the teams, who don't have that privilege in the sense that, hey, man, I only made $900,000 this year. Hey, man, I don't know if I have a contract next year. Hey, man, I don't know if I, you know, this might be my chance to play and showcase myself. in a time where I'm usually average about 9 or 10 minutes a game. So for those guys, not only is him not playing not offensive to them, it actually helps them, gives them more of an opportunity to build up their value. Because at the end of the day, I don't think anyone is mad at a star player for saying, these games don't count, I don't need to be here. I can't think of a single player who would have a problem with that.
Amin, you rock. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I really do appreciate it. It's great to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you and your family are safe and healthy, my friend.
Same, Anita. Stay safe, and you know, when this is all over, we'll have some wine.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.